Log Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, as we open your word this evening, I ask the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, Father. To build our strength strong and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May it always be, Father, that our lives will be according to your way and your will, not the ways of man, but your ways. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And let the Holy Spirit, Father, speak with the authority as you would have him to speak and bring to us, that you would have us to receive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I've got a few verses left here in the last chapter of Romans. Chapter 16, we know that through 16 he's been greeting everyone that he had run across in this letter, and we had gotten down to, actually, verse 16. I'm going to begin there because we're going to be getting on into 1 Corinthians. And as we go through the book of Corinthians, we're going to run into several things that has caused a lot of controversy within our churches and within our lives. All right. Beginning here with verse 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. 17. Now I beseech you, brother, mark them that cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You see, we're not to participate with those that are teaching things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. Now, he tells us this. He's warned us of it, and he told us to avoid them. 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, he's putting it pretty plain, letting us know not only what to avoid, but why. 19. For your obedience is come aboard unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I'm going to drop down here to verse 25 to include Paul's doxology. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And he ends with amen. All right, now, we're going over to Corinthians, first chapter, and begin here with verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sophenus, our brother. 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul there in verse 1 is letting us know that he is an apostle of Jesus, and he was the one that had sent Paul. And you know, the word apostle means one who is sent. Now Jesus is still sending people today. He goes on, there is particular stress on Paul's authority as an apostle through divine call. Sophenus was not a fellow apostle, but certainly a fellow minister of the gospel. And he was probably the ruler of the Jewish synagogue mentioned in Acts 18:17. Now there in verse 2, talking about being sanctified in Christ Jesus. And it could be rendered made holy by virtue of your relation with Christ Jesus. Here Paul has special reference to the Corinthians' right relationship with God. They are set apart for God's special use. His aim in the epistle is to bring the Corinthians' action and lifestyle into closer harmony, God's expectation for those he has made his own. Now, here in 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul starting this out by letting them know exactly who he is, what he is, who sent him, and why he has been sent. Now, there in 3, where he tells us, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that Paul contemplates all that is understood by God's gracious, unmerited favor, you know, as it is extended to sinners. And the letter has in mind benefits that fall from the exercise of God's love. We know he loves all of mankind. Not part, but all. He also knows, though, that they are those that will never accept him, never become a part of the family of Almighty God. But that's not because he don't love them. That's because they don't love him. Just as it was while he was here on earth. But now, they even have less fear of him because he's not even present on the earth at this time in form. He's here, yes. But they don't recognize that. You could be talking with a lot of people today and you can tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and they'll laugh at you. They'll mock you. And they'll even ask you, just who do you think you are? I've had that said to me more times really than I can count, would be, who do you think you are, a saint? Well, you see, they don't know that actually, as they was asking that question, they was also in a way answering it, because yes, if you are a born again child of the living God, you are also a saint of his. That's according to his word. I just read it. There in chapter, in verse 2. Now, here in verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He's letting them know that he's praying for them. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf. Well, the only way you can do that in the church age is through prayer. Now, 6:5. Then everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. And the only way we get that knowledge is in the study of His Word. Without the study of God's Word, we're not going to have any spiritual knowledge or any knowledge of heaven. Six, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. While gift has a wide variety of meanings, here in this verse, it probably has reference to spiritual gifts, which is exactly what it is speaking about. You know, he's speaking about the spiritual gifts that God gives to His children through the Holy Spirit. Eight, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word confirm actually means strengthen or establish or to make firm. And we know that historically the gospel had been confirmed in them, in the apostles. Now they anticipate the prospect of that blessed event when Jesus Christ shall also confirm them blameless before the throne of Almighty God. And you see, He has to do that for you and I. He is our intercessor. And it's through Him that we can make heaven our home. Without Him, and His interceding for you and I and bringing us to the point of us becoming born again in the Spirit of Almighty God, we will never make it. But it's because of that that we can make it. Now, nine, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. God is always faithful. And we know, as He's speaking here about us coming unto the fellowship of His Son, that includes both union and communion. The Corinthian believers had been brought into union with the Lord Jesus Christ accordingly of the great truth implies that they had been brought into communion with one another. And here in a nutshell is the theme of, think about it. Now, we find here in 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there is no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see, we're not to have all of this division that we have today. Man has done that himself because they didn't stay with the word of Almighty God. There was a time here in our land, we didn't have all these different walls built, all these different denominations out there. They was only three or four denominations, really. We had the Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholic, and we had one that was called the Unitarian. You hear very little about it. In fact, it's almost phased out. But basically, those three were the main source of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your Baptist and your Methodist taught the Word of God. Your Catholic was different. They've always been different. But in that day and time, I can remember, because I was small, but I can still remember, because I was raised in the church. Pardon me. And I know how they were. And as the churches first began to weaken, those churches that had started weakening, their pastors would go on and talk to everybody, and they would talk about the preachers that used to preach fire and brimstone. Well, they don't do that no more because, you see, they've learned better. No. Most of them held to their belief, but the churches started weakening. They started dividing. Until now, even though they are called Baptists, they're not the same. They have divided themselves. And they did so mainly out of anger. We have the Southern Baptists. We've got the General Baptists. We've got the Calvary Baptists. We've got the Independent Fundamental Baptists. Think about this. You see, this is what man has done. Well, your Methodist church, it split until these three or four different Methodist churches now. And yet, I just read to you there in the last few verses of chapter 16, not not to deal with them. But no one that causes division and offenses contrary to what? The doctrine. What doctrine? This Holy Bible. This doctrine that has been given to you and I by the apostles, as they recorded what the Holy Spirit gave to them to record. Now, come on down here now. We were told there in verse 10, we're told about the dividing and all there in the last of chapter 16. Now here we are, verse 10 of 17, or I mean of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here, and we're being told, and he tells us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That don't leave room for division, does it? Now, 11. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, and there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollo, I of Cleophas, and I of Christ. You know, that don't really work either. Because you see, they were trying to make a division. And yet these men all taught mainly the same thing. Now verse 13. Paul's asking a question here. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Caiaphas and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. He's getting pretty strict here, isn't he? But he's giving it to you straight and to the point so that you will know how you need to live your life. 16. He says, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now we know that the cross itself carries no power. It was an instrument of death. But the one that was on the cross, that's where the power, the authority, the love of Almighty God, His grace, that is where it all came from. Now, but we go to the place of the cross, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of prudence. Now, he's talking here about it being written to the wise of Corinth are no more effective in the saving of souls than the wise of Judah are in saving off the threat from Isaiah's day. God will destroy human wisdom and make the wisdom of this world foolish. Because you see, we are to live by his wisdom. And if we stay in his word and we bring that word into us, we can do that. And if we will put our faith and trust in Jesus and in the word, we make heaven our home. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has. And it's all through his word. 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness to save them that believe. And you see, those that are walking in darkness and evil, that's exactly what they believe of you and I, that we are foolish for believing. Now, 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. 23. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You're letting us know right there. What they think. 24. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 26. For you see your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. You know, you've heard me in services talk to you about how God didn't call the noble and the wise. He called those that were low, and mostly the lowest. His apostles were not noble men. Most of them were fishermen. Now he had one, a physician, but in Luke's day, as far as physician went and goes, medically speaking, they wasn't too awful wise. And Matthew was a tax collector, and he was thought probably less of than the fishermen were. Because back then, most of the tax collectors also were thieves. They were not liked by no one. Now, Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Those that believe they're mighty. And he's chosen those beneath them, as the word tells us, to confuse. Now, 28. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, we don't have anything to really glory, because without him, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit, you and I would still be nothing. The only glorying we can do is in him. 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. He has been pretty straight there with us, hasn't he? And there in that last couple of verses, 30 and 31, he's talked to him because of his work. And he tells us that, are ye in intimate with Christ Jesus? And Paul concludes that all the riches of salvation exist in Jesus Christ. All that the Corinthian believers are, they owe to him. Thus it is not in oneself. You see, it's not of ourselves. It is all through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are in party alignment, are in supposed human ability, that any believer ought to glory. Paul tabulates the qualities that belong to the believer in Christ. Wisdom is not merely the acquisition of intellectual skills, but the gaining of spiritual discernment. Think about that. You see, we need to get just wise enough to know that we are nothing and that we need a Savior, or else we're going to split hell wide open. You know, righteousness is a legal concept and has in mind the righteousness that is applied to the believer's account the moment he believes. And sanctification has already been mentioned in verse 2, sanctified in Christ Jesus. And this contemplates the work of Christ in the believer as opposed to that which he does for the believer in justification. And redemption underlies all of the above. Now, Christ's redemptive work opened the way for God to extend his grace to sinful man and to pour out upon him such benefits as wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. You see, without Jesus, we've got nothing. Not a thing. And we will see. If we step out of this life into eternity that way, we're going to find that we have made hell our home. And we're going to be there with Satan, all of his demons, all of those that have not accepted Jesus. And one day, we'll all, and hell itself, will be cast into a lake of fire. Is that really what you want for your life? Let me tell you something. You keep trying to do things on your own, and you make things of this world come before the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, that's exactly where you're going to wind up, because you have to have a total commitment unto the Lord in order to make heaven your home. Yes, we are passing through this life, but if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, he will see that we have everything we need and still be first in our lives. We'll be able to spend our time in his word with the church, time in prayer with him, and doing the things he asks of us to do, which is to go forth sharing this gospel with others. You know, if you could actually know every word of this Bible, and yet you sit at home doing nothing, you're still going to miss making heaven your home. You're going to wind up in hell because you haven't been obedient unto the word or unto the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Think about that. We're told to walk in obedience time after time, over and over. We just read about obedience here in this chapter. It was in chapter 16 and a lot of the other chapters there in Romans. It was all through the four Gospels. And yet, that's the one that we are the weakest in obeying. Because we think, well, now I've got to make a living, so I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I just can't seem to make a way now to put time in with the church and with the study of God's word. That's because you're not putting him first. Because he'd see that you could. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I lived it. I lived it and raised a family. He's seen I always had work that would allow me to do his work. Oh, did you have changed jobs? Oh, yes. I've had to change jobs in order to be able to have the time to spend with him and the church and his work. Yes. Like I said, the first 3 years in the ministry, God used me as an evangelist. I would one church to another and never took any pay from none of them. Today, our evangelists are the ones in, as we put it, Christianity is getting to be rich men. If you don't think so, watch Star on the internet. You'll find out. They wear a pair of shoes that cost more than my whole outfit of clothes. Just for their shoes. $7,000 to $9,000 suits. Always searching for more. I've heard too that are still teaching today, and I heard too make the statement that they wanted to be the first two evangelists to be trillionaires. Not millionaires, they wanted to be trillionaires. I don't know whether they've made it or not. I do know they are very, very, very wealthy men taking from others. That's not what we're called to do. Now, if we're kept busy, if God keeps us busy where we can't have other jobs, then he will see that the ministry takes care of us. Yes. But he didn't say he's going to make us millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires. In fact, he said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. So why is he going to make me a very, very rich man? No. Now, he'll see that I have the money I need to do what he calls on me to do. He'll see there's a way made for that. Yes. As long as I'm using that money for him and his purpose, his will, to get this word out. That's what it's about. That's why this ministry, no one in this ministry paid a nickel. We use what comes in here to help others. All right. Let us get ready and pray. We'll be picking up, God willing, in our next study with chapter 2. We'll be going through the book of Corinthians, and as I told you when we first began, that we're going to get into subjects that are a controversy right now in a lot of our churches and among a lot of our people. But you're going to see what the Word of God says about it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for the word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we are thankful for the time that we can come together, Father, to study this word with each other. Because, Father, we do love each other. And we love all mankind. But there is a special love, Father, that's between those that are your children. Because, Father, we all love you. And we love the Lord Jesus. And we love the Holy Spirit. Father, I love your word and I love teaching from your word. Now, Father, Israel, we pray for them. We're praying for them to surely have peace. And, Father, we pray that they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Israel one day will become known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, so evil, so much evil has been brought upon it through those in our governments, in our churches, and in some of our courts, Father, that are filled with people that are evil, that are following Satan. And bringing all this evil into our people and our land. Father, may all of your children pray for them to be removed from office and replaced with those that are yours, that love you, that wants to be, Father, your children. And wants to be those that will bring good to this land and work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those that are a part of this ministry, that has accepted this ministry, and making it a part of their life, I pray for it, Father, for you to keep them all in health, keep them all safe. Give them rest, Father, this evening and through the night, and bring us all together again in the morning. At 10 a.m. and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a good one. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good evening, all.